Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Woo! Back again.
That's right.
Luda. Gets meaner and meaner each time, baby. Feeling real good, too.
Holla at him.
What up, Uncle Face?
Yeah.
I'm a bull in this industry, man. Some would rather run down and get one cow.
Nah.
I think I'd rather walk down and get them all. You know what I'm talking about, right? Look, I'm never going nowhere, so don't try me. My music sticks in fans' veins like an ivy. Flows poison like ivy. Oh, they grimy. Already offers on my sixth album for labels trying to sign me. Respected highly. Hi, Mr. O'Reilly. Hope all is well. Kiss the plaintiff and the wifey. Drove through the window, the industry supersized me. Now the girls see me in the rivers, what they cry me. I'm on the rise, so many people despise me. Got party ammunition for those trying to surprise me. It's a celebration and everyone should invite me. Roll with the crew or meet the bottom of our Nikes. Explorer like Dora, these swipers can't swipe me. My whole aura so mean in my white tee. Nobody light-skinned rapping harder than Ice-T. You disagree, take the Tyson approach and bite me.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing they own tub.
Uh-uh.
But I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right, man.
Scheme, scheme, plot, plot.
Say what?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Woo.
Hey, keep it going, it won't stop.
What you doing, man? Yes, indeed, Ludacris, I'm hotter than Nevada. Ready to break the steering column on your Impala. If I get caught, bail out Popo, I tell him holla. In court, I never show up like Austin Powers, Faja. Father, father, and hey, I love gold. Fucking buy anything I want from the records I'm sold. Jacuzzi hot, Cristal is so cold. Neighbors catch contact from the blunt that I roll. A pig and a blanket, a smoke and a pancake. Drop albums nonstop once a year for my fans' sake. I crush mics until my hand breaks. Then shag now and shag later till these women can't stand straight. The Ludamister got them feeling so randy. I'm double XL, so I call them my eye candy. Brush my shoulder and I pop my collar, cause I'm worth a million, gazillion for $1 billion.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing they own tub. But I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right, man.
Scheme, scheme, plot, plot.
Say what?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Woo.
Hey, keep it going, it won't stop.
What you doing, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Causing lyrical disaster. This a master. Make music for many me's, models, and fat bastards. These women trying to get me out my pelly-pelly. They strip off my clothes and tell me, get in my belly. Stay on the track, hit the ground running like Flojo. Sit back in time and I never lost my mojo. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Ludacris sit down to take over the whole world.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing they own tub.
I'm here. You hear me?
All right, man. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing, man. Just getting settled.
Just chilling,
just
man.
Settled.
Yeah, I see. Y'all know what it is. Another episode of Skybox. You know, it's me, DC People Shed. Got my mad chills up in here. And you know we're going to talk more sports.
Let's see. Before we really really get into
what's that?
Free
what's
agency. Before we get into free agency, a few things I want to actually talk about first.
What are you talking about?
Well, prayers out to Muhammad Ali's family. You know, he's, last time I checked, he's still hospitalized. Next, Manny Pacquiao has a secret sparring partner with one someone from Floyd Mayweather's camp to help him prepare for his fight in May against Money Man.
Yeah,
we got that is, actually, oh, Champ Junior, what it do?
Yeah, he here. He just he hanging out there. Say hi.
What up? So I'm say what up to the world.
But man, it's been crazy, man. It's been crazy little bit of time, like last couple of days.
I mean, a lot has happened in sports since then. Like, I mean, you got Manny using Floyd's sparring partners. This has been a real busy week.
Yeah, no, I see.
I mean, honestly, I'm not really too hyped about the fight. Because honestly, it's like, I don't know. It's like, they had their chance to make this happen a long time ago. It's like, now y'all want to do it when Floyd is on his way out the door. Manny has been knocked out already.
Okay.
And has lost two fights since. I mean, it's like, this fight has lost a lot of his luster. I mean, it's still gonna be that big draw. This might be the highest drawn fight in boxing history.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm looking at it like, okay, it should have been happening. Like, it's like, I don't feel the same way about this fight now that I would have back in 2008 when they were talking about it.
Right.
Also, I look at what Manny's doing. Okay, I can see he's strong with somebody from Floyd's camp. I mean, that's cool and all, but is that really going to help you to prepare for Floyd? I don't think so. Because you're not strong against Floyd himself. You're not preparing yourself for Floyd that way. I hope Manny is looking at a lot of tapes. I hope he's taking time out to watch old fights that Floyd has had. I mean, Floyd is one of the most intelligent fighters I've ever seen, point blank. Pound for pound, whatever. Only way Manny Pacquiao is going to beat him is if he's able to knock Floyd out. I mean, what are your thoughts on the situation, Jack?
Alrighty then. Hopefully I got the bugs worked out here, these technical difficulties.
Okay.
Alright, cool. Alright, we already have somebody on the line here that has their hand up looking like they want to speak. So for the person whose number ends 8054, you are on the air. Good evening.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Black GOP calling into the Skybox. Of course, that we're building the World Trade Center as soon as I can get on the line. How you gentlemen doing tonight?
We're great.
Hello,
how are you, sir?
I am knee deep in a 1.5 liter of New Amsterdam vodka, and it's killing the game. Real fast, talk about Pacquiao and Mayweather. My issue, the last big visual we saw of Pacquiao was him taking a dirt nap in the ring. That was the last visual we all remember about Pacquiao. Mayweather, can anyone stop that left jab? Me personally, I don't think, I do not think that Pacquiao will be able to circle away from that left jab. That thing is the most devastating snap jab to an eye, nose, jaw, cheek, head area. For me, this ever been seen in boxing. I could be wrong. You know, again, I'm not a big sports guy, but when you talk about the face off between the two, I think that left jab is going to destroy Pacquiao, and he might be taking another dirt nap. I don't know.
I mean, interesting point that you brought up. But actually, a lot of people bring out that Pacquiao got knocked out. I mean, honestly, in the world of boxing, it happens. I mean, almost everyone gets knocked out. People tend to forget that he has beaten Marquez several times. I mean, it's not even about Mayweather's left hook that you got to worry about, really. That left jab, you don't got to worry about that. You have to worry about being able to withstand every counter that Mayweather is going to have for you. You're going to have to be prepared to actually be able to move around in the ring with Mayweather. You're going to have to be prepared to actually go toe-to-toe. I mean, Mayweather is a counter fighter. He's one of the greatest defensive specialists in the sport. I mean, this man is a cerebral assassin. He has it down pat to the point where he doesn't even study his opponents. Why? Because he knows his opponents will never be prepared for him. Everyone that Mayweather is facing another face, someone like Mayweather.
The only chance Pacquiao has to beat Floyd is if he makes Floyd take a dirt nap, which I don't see happening.
My only concern is, and I want to bring it back to the left jab. It's not destructive. But I think from what I've seen, again, not a sports guy. From what I've seen is that left jab will annoy you and take you out of your game. And it's where he starts to showboat here and there with it. He starts to showboat with it. And it's like, hey, everybody, I'm Floyd. I'm cool. I got the right glove up. I'm dancing around it. And whammo, left jab. I think it's so small and annoying, and it can slowly accumulate the damage I don't see Pacquiao circling out of it. Because, you know, honestly, that's one of the best ways to get away from the jab is to circle away from a person's good jab. Floyd can jab with both fists. You know what I mean? He can jab with both. But for some reason for me, and maybe I'm wrong, that left jab is completely and totally annoying for me, you know?
I mean, I understand where you're coming from because, I mean, a lot of boxers are vulnerable against southpaws. I mean, left-handed fighters will always have an advantage in boxing. At the end of the day, it is what it is. Either you were strong, either you were left-handed or you strong with your left. I mean, it's something that a lot of fighters don't prepare for. Because, I mean, it's like you can see a right jab or a right hook before you can see a left jab and a left hook. And honestly, I can't even say Floyd's left jab is really going to do it because, I mean, what people fail to realize is a while back, Floyd actually broke that same left hand, and it hasn't been the same since. So the power that Floyd once possessed is not really there. However, Floyd's boxing IQ is so advanced where he doesn't need that power to still win bouts because you're not going to catch Floyd. He's too elusive. You're not going to outthink Floyd because he's a strategist. You're not going to outprepare for Floyd because Floyd already knows what you're going to do before you do it. At the end of the day, left jab or not, Floyd is the ultimate chess player when it comes to boxing.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question, sir. What does Pacquiao have to do to pull it out? What does this go through? If the knockout doesn't happen, and there's a chance the knockout may not happen, is it possible for Pacquiao to score his way to a victory against Floyd?
Honestly, no. He can try, but he's not going to outscore Floyd. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. I mean, I just broke down Floyd for you. I mean, Pacquiao is not as quick as Floyd. He doesn't have the ring IQ that Floyd possesses. He's not the counterfighter that Floyd is. Honestly, I see this fight going 12 rounds, but if Floyd really makes Pacquiao chase him around the ring, it's going to end quicker than that. I'll give it 7 at best. Only chance Pacquiao has is to knock Floyd out.
I would agree, and gentlemen, thank you so much for having me on. I would agree.
No problem.
I totally think that Pacquiao has to drop Floyd. Can he get to Floyd? I don't think so. And if it does go to 12 rounds, again, for me, I'm sorry. I know this might be a little annoying for some of the listeners out there. I'm going to go back to that left jab because that left jab is going to rack up points. And it's going to make for an embarrassing situation. I think Pacquiao does not have it. I think Pacquiao will be taking another dirt nap if it doesn't go 12 rounds. For me, 12 rounds, Floyd pulls it out. And thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I know nothing about sports. I'm horrible. All right.
No problem. Thanks for calling me out.
All right. No problem, brother.
But before we actually get off this, okay. Hold up, having a technical difficulty over here. Yeah.
I thought I was the only one having technical difficulties. Jesus.
Yeah, my chair did a juke move on me. But yeah, here's what I want to say though. Floyd hasn't knocked no one out in a very long time.
It's true.
I mean, that might be overdue. However, what's gonna weigh Pacquiao down is Floyd's counter skills. I mean, Pacquiao might outpunch him for the first few rounds, but throughout a whole 12-round bout, he's not. Floyd is going to use his elusiveness. He's going to use his boxing IQ. He's going to use the fact that he's a great counter fighter to wear Manny down. He's going to make Manny wear himself out.
Mhm. There you go. We'll see what happens. You know, this has been the fight that everybody's been wanting to see for the longest time. Now they're going to get it. Hopefully, it actually, you know, lives up to the hype.
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, I think this will be Floyd's biggest challenge to date. Everybody's saying he beat De La Hoya, he beat Sugar Shane. He beat, first of all, he fought them past their primes. I don't consider that a challenge. Neither one of them was a challenge. He fought them when neither one was no longer relevant.
Right.
So it's like, I look at that, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, this might be the first actual challenge that Floyd has in his, you know, in a while. It's not his whole career.
I mean, you really look at Floyd's resume. I mean, who has he really fought, though? I mean, most of his competition has been of a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of washed-up boxers, or guys who are not ranked in the top five.
Hey.
Not taking nothing away from Floyd because he's a great boxer, but it would be nice to see him fight someone that's going to even playing around as him. I'm just saying.
Well, like I said, he'll get that challenge, so see how he can handle it. He'll stay undefeated or not. Hopefully he has somebody read the contract to him so that way he knows what's going on. You know one of those jokes had to come out. You knew it.
Yeah, it was. Oh my god. Okay. Moving on from boxing. Give me 1 second. Still showing. Okay. Moving on from boxing. Okay, here's one story I wanted to get off because this. Oh, hold on. Before I get to that one. The Chicago Bulls fans hold a beagle for Derrick Rose's knees.
Yeah,
a beagle for Derrick Rose's knees.
They said they had a beagle for his knees. I was just like, y'all ain't shit.
It was an art drawing of Derrick Rose, pray for Rose, with two crutches and some candles, roses, mirrors, and a signed basketball. Like, well, come on now, for real. I mean,
shit for that one. They ain't shit for that.
It's like, they not, I mean, they're not shit for that, but damn, it was funny. That was funny. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, just that image, like. I mean, just that image. Just being there in person saying that, like. I mean, I had to die. I mean, at the same time, it's like, I feel bad for Derrick Rose, but at the same time, I understand the fans' frustration. Like, you blew your knee out 3 years ago. You telling me Adrian Peterson blew his knee out 3 years ago. He took a complete year off. Then he came back. Then he blew it out again.
Right.
He comes back the following season. Started like old Derrick Rose, then he gets hurt again. I mean, right now, I see nothing but Brandon Roy.
Who?
I see Brandon Roy part two. I see Tracy McGrady part two. I see Anthony Penny Hardaway part two. Hell, I'm starting to see Sam Bowie for real.
All that, huh?
I'm saying a great player have his career ended at a very young age. I mean, that's what we're saying right now. No matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
we've seen was 2011.
Yeah, I feel for Derrick Rose, man. I mean, he's shown a lot. He's shown that he's a very talented young man, a very talented player. It's just that he hasn't had the best luck in the world in terms of his body cooperating with him, and that's usually, you know, that's a crying shame when you're such a talented person, but your own body telling you, you know, not to, your own body telling you that you can't do this, you can't do that.
I mean, he got to come to the crossroads to the point where he got to say, hey, it's over. I've tried twice and it failed both times. He has to come to the point where, like, okay, maybe my career is over with. I'm not the same Derrick Rose that I was back in 2011 when I won the league MVP. I'm not the same Derrick Rose that can run up the court faster than anyone else in the NBA. I'm not the same Derrick Rose that can run a 4.2 40. I'm not that guy no more. He has to accept that fact. Because the more he tries to come back to that guy, the more pressure he's going to put on his knees. And the more his knees are going to fail him.
I think the issue, though, is that, you know, because he still feels he's so young, he still probably has that fire inside of him that he wants to continue to play. And it's going to take, I'm sorry to say, it's going to take something catastrophic for him to make the realization that he just can't play anymore. You know, because he's suffered severe knee injuries a couple times in the last few years, and it's just, you know, it seems like he just can't stay healthy.
Exactly, he can't. I mean, it is what it is. I don't mean to sound negative, but I mean, at the end of the day, my man, like, D, come on, man. Do yourself a favor. If you can't go no more, let go.
I mean, it's easier said than done, you know? It's easier said than done.
I mean, I understand that. I mean, it's hard to walk away from something that you love. At the same time, I mean, you got to look at long-term. You got to look at long-term hope. Because, I mean, you keep on. He might get to the point where he might have to get his stuff amputated. I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, it's going to get to that point. And I'm afraid for him.
You gonna mess around, be looking like Kamala over here? I mean, no.
Yeah, I'm afraid for him. Hopefully, everything works itself out. You know, he'll either finally get healthy and be able to have a good career, or he'll realize that his health is not what it is, and he just gives it up. But either way, hopefully, he'll make the right decision, and you know, put it in God's hands and make it happen.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's sad to see anyone just having to be forced to walk away from the game. But we all understand. I mean, there's certain things that you just can't control.
Exactly.
Having the same exact injury is something that you cannot control right now.
I mean,
you look at
some of the college kids who, even before they could hit the floor, their college careers, you know, even before they could hit the floor for another year, their college careers ended because of some kind of, you know, heart condition. Or, you know, like the kid from Georgetown who got to be in the game for like a couple seconds for Georgetown against Seton Hall, and he couldn't play really because of a heart condition. And so, you know, that's
right.
One of the things that, you know, comes to mind.
Exactly. Exactly. But I actually want to move on now. This is something that actually really caught my attention. Shane, you might figure out where I want to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold up. Wait. Congratulations for both University of Maryland men's and women's basketball team coaches for winning Big Ten Coaches of the Year.
How about that?
How about it?
How about that? They both, in their first years of basketball in the Big Ten, both of their teams are in, like, Maryland is a number two seed in the Big Ten tournament, and Maryland, I believe, won the Big Ten tournament and are going to the women's NCAA tournament. So, you know, well-deserved honor for both of those coaches because, you know, they've definitely brought something amazing to College Park.
Okay, I can't find what I was looking for. Hold up, I think it was the same. That wasn't it. But the article I was looking for, it was Dion Waters. Oh, here you go. Yes, Dion Waters refusing to stand for the national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
His reason for refusing to stand was because of religion. Before I give you my thoughts, what are your thoughts on that, champ?
I said it when you post the article. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf basically made this sort of thing famous way back when he was part of the Denver Nuggets. He did the same exact thing. Didn't observe the national anthem. As a matter of fact, he was off to the side and he prayed during the national anthem. And he caught so much flack and so much grief and so much crap from that it basically ruined his career. I read that if he had had 33 more free throws, he'd be the NBA leader in career free throw percentage because he currently is at 90.5% free throw percentage. But because he fell short of the 1,200 minimum needed for a career, he's not listed as a leader. So his 90.5 just basically doesn't count. But
it doesn't mean nothing.
He got ran out of the league.
It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, because he got ran out of the league, and it's not right. You know, yes, post 9/11, you know, Muslims and, you know, Muslims face a lot more criticism and dirty looks and things like that than ever before because of what happened in 9/11 and the people who committed those atrocities and the religion they represent. But at the same time, we live in a country where the Constitution gives us the right to practice whatever religion we want to. And just because that religion involves not observing our national anthem does not mean we have to crucify this person, like this person or these persons. You know, like, yes, I'm a full red-blooded American. Yes, I'm an African-American, but I'm a full red-blooded American. I'll stand for the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, what have you. But if I were Muslim and that was not a part of our religion, then I would roll with my religion. And that's basically what it is.
Okay. Here's my take on this. I don't have nothing against no one's religion whatsoever. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're Jehovah. I don't care if you're a Buddhist, a Judas, whatever. Catholic, Mormon, whatever. Here's my problem with what he did. Out of all the years that he's been an athlete, high school, college, basketball, all the times that he had to stand for the playing of a national anthem, why do it now? Why wait till one game to, you know what, I feel this is against my religion. I'm not going to do it no more. Why wait till now? Also, why are people just now finding out that he's a Muslim? If your religion meant that much to you, it would be something that it will be something that you would actually promote. It will be something that that people will know about you. It will be one of the first things people would think when they think of you. I don't knock no one for their religion, for their religion views. However, when you're in America making American money, working for an organization that mostly plays in America, that is broadcast all over the world, that is American owned, when you are a U.S. citizen, you still want to throw your religion out there. It's cool. But at the end of the day, you work for America, you live in America, you are spending and making American money. Who in the hell are you to sit on your ass and magically throw your religion out there? That's the part that upset me. You want to preach religion, you want to preach that it's against your religion to stand for the national anthem, move out of the country. Ask for your money not to be American money. No longer call yourself an American. It's one thing that you don't want to stand for the national. I mean, it's one thing you want to represent your religion, but don't use it as an excuse. Don't bring it up all of a sudden. When Tim Tebow was coming out, people knew about his Christianity. That was no secret. When Muhammad Ali became Muslim, people knew he was a Muslim. They didn't keep their religion a secret. When A.C. Green became a born-again Christian, that was no secret. So why are we just now hearing about this? Why are we just now throwing this out for a reason not to stand for the pledge for the national anthem? I'll give Muslims credit. They, ever since 9/11, they have been viewed in a different light. But who hasn't since 9/11? I get viewed as an angry black guy almost every day of my life. That doesn't change who I am. Why? Because I know I will excel in this country to the point where I know that I'm more than just an angry black guy. I know that I'm not an angry black guy. That I am a winner in the making.
And we're here now.
I mean, I ain't get too deep with it, did I?
No, you didn't get deep. I will say this, though. I'm still with my point, playing devil's advocate. But I think the better solution he should have did was did what Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf did and pray, not just sit there and look stupid. Pray.
Yeah, exactly.
Observe the national anthem. Do something. And if it has to do with your religion, do something that has to do with your religion. Pray. Something. That's what Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf did. Instead of being there for the national anthem, he was on the bench praying.
I had no problem with that. You know what? Beyond Waiters, Walters would have did that. I would have respected him so much. If he had sat on the bench and prayed, if he had went close to the fans or to the press bench, and prayed, I'd respect him for that. But you want to sit down? Oh, chilled out like you sitting on some in front of somebody's building and whatnot. Like you at home sitting on a stoop until they done. No, you get no respect from me from that. That was a disgusting, disrespectful act.
Yeah, he should have prayed, did something instead of just sit there. But again, like I said, this has happened before, and the person caught slack and it ruined their NBA career. Let the person practice whatever religion they want to, as long as their religion and their actions towards that are not of an extremely disrespectful nature. Now, from what it sounds like, this gentleman's actions were kind of disrespectful because all he did was sit there. It wasn't like he was praying or anything like that. He was very disrespectful with it. So, you know, any other situation, like Mahmoud's situation, again, he prayed while the national anthem was playing. You know, a lot of people saw that as disrespect. I don't, because, again, he says it was against his religion, and he prayed. That's doing something. Now, if you just, like you just said, if you sit on your butt, then you're going to have some issues that I don't know if anybody's going to get you out of. But I'm hopeful that he realizes that maybe he should go that route and pray while the national anthem is playing in order to not look like he's disrespecting the country and things like that.
I mean, when I read that story, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I was pissed. I saw my boy Ra-Ra with his comment, like, I understand his point of view. At the same time, looking at the overall situation, your boy was dead wrong. At the end of the day, it's one thing to be loyal to your religion, but when you're not, when you want to just magically throw it out there, and you just gonna sit down like it's all good to not stand up for the national anthem, you gonna come off as disrespectful.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. So, you know, even out in that situation, see what ends up happening with that one.
And last time I checked, standing for the national anthem is a part of his job description. If he don't want to do that, he needs to become a Toronto Raptor. Or he needs to go overseas.
Well, I think what you should do is stand, but just pray. You know, maybe be at the end of the bench, church.
He can do that. He can stand and pray. He can do that. He doesn't have to sing the national anthem. He doesn't even have to really go along with it. He could stand and pray to whoever who he prays to.
And, you know, not to switch subjects, because this is a very good subject for all y'all out there. Make sure you join our Facebook group. Just search TSOTS Presents the Skybox if y'all want to talk about this and other sports stories with us. Again, search on Facebook, TSOTS Presents the Skybox. A real quick note that just came in about 10 minutes ago. Alex Ovechkin just joined an elite group that only has four other players in it: Wayne Gretzky, Mike Bossy, Mario Lemieux, and Marcel Dion. He now becomes the fifth player in NHL history to have a seventh 45-goal or better season in his career.
Mm.
He just scored his 45th goal early. He scored his 45th goal earlier in the night to give the Right now, the Caps are actually down 2-1 in the second period, but the one goal was the history-making goal from Alex Ovechkin. So, you know, so congratulations to Ovi. Ovi's had a very, very great career, but it won't be any better if he doesn't finally win that Stanley Cup championship.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, 45th, assisted by Knetsov and Joel and Ward. So, but the Rangers currently have a 2-1 lead on them right now, late part of the second period. Well, I just wanted to make that note real quick. So, let's talk about the last 2 days, that the beginning of the NFL's new league year and free agency.
Yeah, it was about that time. About 40-something minutes into the show. About that time.
I got to tell you, I'm currently on leave from my job. So when the league year officially started Tuesday afternoon at 4, even before that, stuff was just flying all over the place. I was trying to keep up with it. If you're on our Facebook group page, you saw between me and Chills, we were posting every bit of news we could post up regarding free agency signings, trades, and all that other stuff. And it's crazy. So, Chills, I got to ask you, it's a three-part question. What was the surprising transaction in the last 2 days? What was the not-so-surprising transaction in the last 2 days? And what team or teams do you think already are looking good through the first 2 days of the new league year in terms of off-season moves?
Okay, I'm going to group it all up to me. Okay, team that looks good, that really look great as far as free agency, I'm not going to lie. It's a tie between the Seattle Seahawks, because they finally gave Russell Wilson a great receiving option. Something he's never really had before. He has a go-to guy in Jimmy Graham. I mean, they did give up a first-round pick, but at the same time, I feel as though that was a good move. That was a great move. I mean, it was a great move for them, and it was a great move for the New Orleans Saints. I got quite a few Saints who are not. I had like one that was kind of mad about that. But if you think about it, you gave up your best receiver for the past few seasons, and you got a center that your team desperately has needed, and you have another first round pick for this year. If I'm the New Orleans Saints, I would be looking at either another big receiver or I'll be looking at Max Williams from the University of Minnesota to replace Jimmy Graham. I mean, I'm just saying. Also, another team, I gotta go with the Colts. I'm sorry. I mean, you bring in Frank Gore and Andre Johnson. I mean, those two pieces alone. You finally gave Andrew Luck a run game that he's desperately needed. And you gave him another receiving option.
Got a slight upgrade getting Trent Cole.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I forgot all about good old Trent Cole. You bring in one of the best pass rushers in the NFL for the past several seasons. In Trent Cole. I mean, everybody like Trent Cole is past his prime. But at the same time, this man still performs at a high level. You put him on that defensive line, you already upgraded your defense. Now, if they are able to sign, I'd say a good defensive back or a nice, solid safety, that Colts team is going to be a real Super Bowl contender. They might actually make it to the show this year. Because honestly, I look at the AFC like, I mean, New England has lost Revis. They're on the verge of losing Brandon Browner. They about to lose Devin McCourty. I mean, that whole secondary is gone. Revis Island went back to New York. We're going to talk about the stick-up kid later. It's like, when I read that the song Stick Up Kid by Life Genius popped up in my head. Because honestly, if you look back at the real Revis, you look at his past few contracts with his teams, he be robbing them niggas, man. I mean, yes, they are paying for the performance. Because I mean, what the real Revis does is second to none. So you are getting your money's worth with Revis for like 1 year. But at the same time, I mean, I give the real Revis his credit. He knows how to get his money. Well, whoever his agent is, shout out to him, because, I mean, shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So, so did you mention your surprise move? What was the surprise move of the last 2 days?
The surprise moves. I don't know. Honestly, the Jacksonville Jaguars. For actually getting people to want to come to Jacksonville. let's do a recap of everybody they brought in. They bring in one of the best tight ends in the game, Julius Thomas.
Right.
They signed some other pieces. I'm trying to think, who else did they sign?
Here we go. All right, so they re-signed their defensive end, Tyson Alualu, he's going into a fifth season. They re-signed him to a 2-year deal. They also signed free safety Sergio Brown, D tackle Jared Oldrick, who was the 15th ranked free agent. They also got Jeremy.
Yeah, they
Parnell.
Got him from Miami. They got him from Miami.
Yep.
And they got
Jeremy
Parnell from Baltimore.
From Dallas. They also got Dan Scooter from San Francisco. And but like you mentioned, they got Julius Thomas from Denver, who's going into the fourth season. He signed his deal 5 years. $9.2 million on average, $24 million is guaranteed. So it's like, yeah. Still have a couple more people that need to re-sign that are unsigned right now.
Team that has really jive, like maybe laugh at them has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, you trade Shady McCoy for a PlayStation 2, and a GameStop controller. You let Jeremy Maclin go. You let Trent Cole go. You bring in Ryan Matthews, who has only had one 1,000-yard season in his career. The rest of them years, he's been injured. You bring in Byron Maxwell, a corner who's strong in cover three, but you don't know how good he is in man-to-man coverage. At the rate that Philly D is, he's going to struggle. I mean, think about it. Every transaction that they have done in the past week has been questionable. I mean, I don't know where to begin at. It's just like, Chip, what the fuck, man? I really think that he's really trying to prove that he can win without the team that Andy Reid left on. I mean, it's one thing to add pieces, but you can't just get rid of your top stars without having a replacement for them.
Mm-hmm. That's true. This is very true. My surprise, I will say this, my surprise is two of them. My first surprise is definitely the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they have gone out and they have gotten a bunch of studs for both sides of the football. They re-signed a strong safety, Mike Adams, after he exceeded the expectations as a late period free agent. They re-signed him. Terms of the deal have not been disclosed. But then they went out. I mean, they lost Sergio Brown to Jacksonville. They lost Corey Redding to Arizona, and they lost A.Q. Shipley to Arizona. But they gained Trent Cole for 2 years. They got Frank Gore free. They got center Todd Harriman from Philly, who's played in over 100 games in his career. They got him 124 games. He's going to Indy. Andre Johnson's going to Indy, and then defensive tackle Kendall Langford is going to Indy from St. Louis. So that's my that's kind of a surprise to me that they managed to go out and get such talented, strong players on both sides of the ball to come in and make things work. Because right now, Reggie Wayne. He's out there as an unrestricted free agent, so it's a key mix. But, I mean, you look at Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, those are going to be some vicious weapons along with Corey Kleiner. The other surprise was the trade that went down between the Saints and the Eagles. I mean, not the Saints, the Rams and the Eagles. Yeah, the Rams and the Eagles sending Sam Bradford over to the Eagles in exchange for Nick Foles. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming at all. That surprised the crap out of me. That
honestly,
move happened.
That trade had me stuck. Huh? Like, I mean, that trade had me stuck. I mean, granted, Nick Foles is coming off an injury, but he's already accomplished more than Sam Bradford. Like, I mean, Sam Bradford, who hasn't played a full season in his career. And he has weapons around him. He has guys like Zach Stacy, Davon Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think about the other receiver. He's a big diamond, though. The Rams have weapons, but their biggest issue has been in quarterback. I mean, Austin. What was the guy's name? Austin Davis? The rookie quarterback they had that was undrafted. He proved that they had a team last year.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he was a rookie. But he did better than Sam Bradford. Hands down. To be an undrafted rookie? I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, man.
And then you got to think about it. It's like, you know, Sam Bradford coming off a second ACL tear in the same knee, going into a situation where he's going to be competing against a veteran quarterback who actually had a pretty good season last year in relief of
Mark
the person
Sanchez.
Who he's training for, and Mark Sanchez. Sanchez is there for
yeah,
2 years.
Yeah, Sanchez had a good season. I ain't going to lie. I give him credit. I mean, yeah, he threw a six, but he still had a good season. I mean, stat-wise, that was one of his best seasons. That was possibly his best season of his career. I don't know if they brought Sam Bradford in as trade bait, but nobody's going to want Sam Bradford. I mean, come on now. What can you get out of him? Besides injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Matt Sanchez did a good season, but, I mean, no one's going to commit to him being a starting quarterback. I'm just surprised nobody tried to trade for Kirk Cousins yet.
the deals are out there. I'm sure the deals are out there.
They're out there. I'm just surprised we ain't hear none yet. Because, I mean, right now there's a lot of teams that could use a starting quarterback, and looking at this upcoming rookie class, there are not that many good quarterbacks coming out.
Right.
I mean,
I think another surprise to me, I know I said two, but there's a third one I just remember, was the trade between the Saints and the Seahawks, where they said Jimmy Graham to Seattle. I was like, wait, what? Like, did that really just happen?
I mean, it was a surprise. It was a surprise, but, I mean, honestly, both teams really won it. People saying the Saints messed up, but think about it. You have two first-round picks in this year's draft. This is one of the most talented draft classes that we had since possibly 2011. I mean, it's talented at almost every position, except for quarterback and maybe safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many pieces that the Saints could actually get out of this draft. They can really draft Max Williams. I mean, if I'm the Saints out, I mean, that's what I would go to look at now. They could, if they wanted to upgrade to something else, they got two picks where they can move down to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting.
Okay. And then I'm going to say, I'm going to agree with you on the team that's already done some damage these first 2 days, and that would be the Colts, because of just all the moves that they've made in terms of re-signing of Mike Adams, and then the signings of stars like Cole and Gore and Johnson. I mean,
exactly.
they have really stepped up the show. Like,
I mean, they
are
definitely
ready to make that run.
Yeah, I mean, I had to give the Jacksonville Jaguars credit, too, because, I mean, they've done pretty good in free agency. I mean, they're sold on Blake Bortles being a quarterback. I understand that. I respect that. Because, I mean, he does have an upside to him. The boy can play. I mean, I know they wish they would have drafted Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
But, I mean, they have an upside. They know they have a franchise quarterback out of him. You align him with some weapons that he can roll with. Get him a run game. Make sure the offensive line is stout. Defense, build that up. Get him, I mean, hopefully Justin Blackman will come back with his mind right and not do no more dumb shit. And the Jacksonville Jaguars will be ready to go.
Okay. All right. And then how about, you know, there were a couple of players that actually retired within the last day and a half or so. A couple of players that
retired. We got a good handful. I mean, Patrick Willis.
I'm going to pull him up right now.
His retirement speech, man. God. I mean, it was so, I mean, that thing was so hard to watch. Now, out of all the players that
Patrick
retired.
Willis.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Who else retired?
Maurice Jones-Drew, Patrick Willis, Jake Locker. Jake Locker retired.
Cortland Flanagan.
Flanagan retired too. I was getting ready to say Cortland Flanagan retired.
He's the only one that was over 30 that retired.
But I'm pretty sure a lot of people, because of the way he played, a lot of people saw that he was retired, was like, not a fuck was given that day. Anyway.
I mean, it's sad to see anybody walk away before it's really time for him to retire. But, I mean, the way he did it, though, still taking a shot at Andre Johnson, dude, get over it. I mean, that fight was how many years ago?
I know, right? I remember that.
He was still in Tennessee when that happened. I mean, come on, let it go. Let that go.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. But they did have the walk away. from the game. Maurice Jones-Drew's actually been on the NFL Network with their free agency coverage, and I think he has a future in broadcasting. I really do, because he's very eloquent.
Oh, we missed
well,
one, too.
He knows what the hell he's talking about.
We missed one, too.
Ooh.
Jason Worland from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
He also retired.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I said, there's a lot of people that just, you know, walked away from the game.
All
but,
of them.
You know, they had their reasons for doing so. They had their reasons for doing so. And, you know.
I mean, I look at Jason. I mean, he was just coming up in his career. I mean, he had a great season. Like, is he retired now? I mean, that was one of the guys I was hoping that the Skins was going to sign to replace Brian Orakpo. I actually wanted the Skins to sign Jason, though. I mean, he's a great pass rusher. And,
then the Raiders, with MJD retiring, they went out and they got themselves a pretty good running back in Roy Helu, who I honestly think Rahulu will most likely either be a starter, it'll be a running back by committee, but he'll be at the top of that committee because of the fact that he's still young and he doesn't have a lot of miles on him. So he's most likely to break out and then make life a little easier for Carr out there.
I mean, think about it. I mean, Rahulu is not an every down back. But he has potential to be one. I mean, he still has a lot of miles left in his legs. He's a great receiving back. He's a great speed back. He can be something special for the Oakland Raiders if they use him right. Hopefully they will bring in another running back to actually take some of that load off of him. But, I mean, it should be interesting to watch him in Oakland, though. I mean, I wish Roy all the success in the world. He was a good Redskin. But I understand. You got to move on.
Business. Leonard Hankerson is also gone, too, though. I'm pretty sure nobody really cares about that. He hardly made any
impact.
He
went to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he hardly made an impact, so I'm pretty sure he probably won't start in Atlanta. I mean, even though Atlanta let Harry Douglas go to Tennessee, and he ain't got they don't even know what their quarterback situation is. But I just don't see Hank doing anything in Atlanta because you got Julio Jones, and you got Roddy White. If he stays healthy, so yeah.
I mean, he might be a good third receiver if he can stay healthy. He's been hurt the past couple of seasons.
Right. Oh, they re-signed Eric Weems, so they got him back for a season, and then they added Hankerson. So yeah, those are the four receivers you're looking at. And Hankerson's deal was not the terms weren't announced, but yeah. And then, like I said, Harry Douglas went to Tennessee. And they still have, a couple of players they need to they still have a few key players they need to re-sign, like Steven Jackson. I don't think they're going to re-sign Steven Jackson. I just don't see it. He hasn't shown nothing in the couple years he's been in Atlanta. I mean, he had, like, one or two good seasons in Atlanta, but he's been on the downturn ever since.
Yeah, that he has. Shout out to my man, Torrey Smith, former receiver of the Baltimore Ravens, who is now in San Francisco, playing together once again with Anquan Boldin. I mean, that man is straight class. I mean, he could have carried the Ravens, but he didn't. He left Baltimore with dignity and class.
Yep.
Something you don't see too much of nowadays, especially from professional athletes.
And I'm going to tell you something. There's been rumors that, you know, Colin Kaepernick is on the trading block, but I mean, you put Anquan and Torrey on different sides of the football with Torrey and his breakaway speed, Anquan with his ability to just, you know, it was like throw caution to the wind. If Vernon Davis mm-hmm. get his shit together, and they can get themselves a good running back to replace Frank Gore, I think San Francisco might be a problem out there in the West.
They need that right quarterback.
Yeah, they could be a problem. Huh?
Do they need that right quarterback? They're gonna be something special.
I mean, right now, you think about it, they got Torrey Smith, they got Anquan, they got Vernon Davis. They need to re-sign Crabtree, who may or may not re-sign. Brandon Lloyd, who cares about him, and Kasim Osgood. So those are your wide receivers out there, and I'm pretty sure there are other receivers out there that haven't been signed yet that can go in there. Because to be honest with you, Kaepernick needs those receiving weapons. I mean, he had his run game with Gore, mm-hmm. but he needs those weapons. He needs those weapons on the outside. Otherwise, he's going to struggle so badly.
I mean, mm-hmm. shoot, he had good weapons last year and still struggled. I mean, he had Crabtree, he had Bowling, he had Vernon Davis, and he had Stevie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a nice receiving core.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, at the beginning of last season, the beginning of the 2014 season, the 49ers receiving core was actually ranked in the top five. Based on the names that they had.
And you know what else is crazy? It's like, you know, KC went out. They finally went to go get themselves a receiver since they were the only team to not have a receiving touchdown from a wide receiver in an entire 16-game season. I mean, how the hell does that happen? So they went out and got Jeremy Maclin, who then reunited with Andy Reid. That should be a very interesting situation, especially, you know, with Bo maybe not coming back, you know.
I mean, honestly, that running back tandem in Kansas City was a huge reason why they couldn't get a receiving touchdown as well. Jamal Charles and Al Davis, they tore it up last year. When Jamal Charles was down for a few games, Al Davis got off. Not only running in touchdowns, but taking kickoffs to the house.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, I mean, you have two talented backs that can pretty much do the same thing. Both of them got great speed. One is one can break tackles better. The other one can make people miss better. Both of them can catch on the backfield. Both of them can be lined up in a slot.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we haven't talked about the Redskins, who they haven't made many moves so far in the first 2 days. I mean, they re-signed Niles. He's going to stay for another couple of years, which is good because, you know, Niles is a very, you know, very versatile, you know, very good tight end. You know, he just needs to get his hands together. They signed Steven Peya. He tackled from Chicago. They signed him to a 4-year deal to come in and be on the D-line. And then, of course, Hankerson and Hulu are gone. And they have quite a few people they need to resign, including Santana Moss, who on March the 10th, I believe it was, either the 10th or 11th, was the 10-year anniversary of Santana Moss' first signing with the Redskins. So he's been with the Redskins for 10 years.
Complete decade. I mean, honestly, I would love to see Santana retire at the Skins because, I mean, he has earned that right. However, if our receiving core gets to the point where we don't need San Fran, I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
That in personal, strictly business. Oh, man.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that the Eagles, they really have, you know, they really have made some questionable moves. You know, free agency moves so far.
Like I said, these fools might mess around with some 0-16.
Yeah, it'd be possible. So, I remember reading a quote from Chip Kelly saying that they're not going to mortgage their future trying to get Marcus Mariota, which is apparent since they went out and they got Sam Bradford in a trade and they re-signed Sanchez. It's obvious that, you know, they're not trying to bring a quarterback in out of the draft. They feel they got their starting quarterback already on the roster.
Honestly, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Chip Kelly still wants Marcus Mariota. Here's why. Sam Bradford is not athletic to run that Chip Kelly offense. He doesn't have the speed. He's not durable. His decision making isn't there. He's not a prototypical Jim Kelly quarterback. Chip Kelly quarterback. He's not. The Sam Bradford trade, I think that was just to get rid of Nick Foles. To guarantee that if he does, when he does trade for Mariota, he can put in Mariota's head that he's going to start off the break. He won't have any bit of a challenge with a starting job. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, you have this team that's pretty much a remake of the old Oregon Ducks team.
Basically.
So why not have an Oregon Duck quarterback? I mean, unless he's going to pull up Jeremiah Mazzoli, whoever the hell he's at.
It's official. The reason signing with the Jets, so you know everything comes full circle. He left New York, went to Tampa Bay, then ended up in New England, and now he's back in New York.
Jacob Kidd. Matter of fact, I think I do have that phone on the switchboard. Hold up.
I see a Life Genesis on, but it's not that one.
Okay, it might be on my phone. It might be on my phone. But yeah. Your man is a stickler, kid. I'm not hating on him either.
I mean, it is what it is. You know, they, you know, instead of, you know,
he knows how to get his, he knows how to get his money.
Instead of trying to figure out their quarterback position, they get.
So what all everything that has happened in the past couple of days, how hard does this make it for the New England Patriots to try to repeat as Super Bowl champions?
Did
they panic or no?
I wouldn't say panic, but, you know, because they re-signed Devin McCourty, even though he lost Revis, and they lost Shane Vereen to New York, to the Giants. But I don't think they should panic. I think the one thing they should worry about, though, is the fact that, you know, Ndamukong Suh is now in their division. They have to see him twice a year, along with Cameron Wake. And Suh is known as one of the best run stoppers in the game. And New England doesn't have much of a run game to begin with. So if, you know, they go up against Miami, they could end up being one-dimensional, and that could play into their hands. So I wouldn't say panic, but I think their road, like any other time, any other Super Bowl champion, the road to repeat is not going to be easy at all.
Yeah. It made it a little bit more complicated. Oh, man. Speaking of
Eddie
Royals,
Eddie Royals heading to Chicago.
That might be a good spot for him. I mean,
yeah.
Go to Chicago with Sean Jeffrey. That might be a good fit for him. He might be a good fit for them.
Right.
But yeah, like, again, man. Here's a shout out to my man Revis. Okay, I can't do it. But yeah, you are a stick up kid. You get your money, no matter where you go. I can't do nothing but respect the hustle. Let's move on to the $114 million man, the Ndamukong
Suh. $114 million.
People are already calling him the next Albert Haynesworth.
And that's a bad comparison.
That's a complete insult. The Ndamukong Suh, at this point of his career, has accomplished more than Albert Haynesworth. Albert Haynesworth was lucky and was able to take advantage of a clueless owner who will pay anything to win. He came off of his best season of his career, and he got lucky to get that contract. Ndamukong Suh, here's a guy that's actually earned it. Out of his first five seasons, he's been to four Pro Bowls. He's had more tackles than any other defensive tackle since he's been drafted. He's been a force up the middle, and he's one of the reasons why people don't look at the Detroit Lions like they used to. People call him a dirty player, but at the same time, he puts fear into opposing teams. You have to game plan for him alone before you even think about the rest of any defense that he's on. He's never had any off-the-field issues like Haynesworth. Haynesworth was lazy and pathetic. No. Ndamukong Suh is a hard-working, high-motor player. Suh was the leader. Haynesworth is just a worthless piece of crap. We have approximately 5 minutes left.
Yeah, we do. And just real quick, breaking news, and I'm about to put this on my Twitter feed, which y'all can follow at DC People's Champ, that per Adam Schefter on Twitter, Cowboys free agent running back DeMarco Murray is flying to Philadelphia to meet Eagles officials on Thursday per league source. So, sounds to me like he's staying in the division, just going up north, possibly. So I'm going to definitely keep an eye on that.
I mean, if he goes to Philly, that'd be the one thing Chip Kelly has done right so far. Because, I mean, I already know, Kerry Williams is going to have a stellar year in Seattle. Just because he's in that defense. Alone.
Yeah, I'm just crazy.
But since we're on DeMarco Murray, let's talk. I mean, let's really talk about this. I mean, you know, the shelf life on running backs is not long at all. I mean, the average running back plays for a total of 5 to 6 years at a high level. Most running backs are done by the time they're 32, 33. If you were DeMarco Murray, knowing that your career can be over in 2 years, knowing that the value of running backs isn't the same as it was, what is your strategy for free agency? Do you go for the big money paycheck, or do you take a discount and have hopes of making it past the second round of the playoffs?
You know what? That's just a question that I couldn't even answer, to be honest with you, because I just don't know what you would do on that point.
Okay. Here's my answer. Due to the fact that the value of running backs isn't the same, due to the fact that the market for running backs isn't that deep, depending on the fact that this draft class only has 3 solid running backs that are going to start off the break. The fact that the shelf life of a running back isn't long at all, shorter than any other position on the football field. If I have a chance to get the most money possible while I'm still available, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go for that. Because, again, my career can be over by the time I'm 30. I mean, if I'm a running back, I mean, that's my thoughts. I'm still in my 20s. I got a chance to get $40 million real quick. I'm going to go for it. I mean, because after I retire, I mean, who's going to take care of me? The Cowboys ain't going to take care of me. I understand that my teammates want me to stay, but I got to look out for me. Most of y'all going to be playing in 10 years. Dez is possibly going to be around in 10 years. I'm not. I don't have that much miles left in me. Y'all not taking the hits that I take. Y'all not running up the middle with your life on the line, getting hit it from each and every possible angle. Y'all not going through that. Y'all don't go through what I go through. Y'all done bounced back from the same injuries that I've had. So, with that said, knowing that running backs are so easy to replace, I'm going to get my money when I can. That's all I got to say for tonight.
There you go.
Time to do the lineup. All
right.
Friday night, we have our relationship talk show, Isn't Hers. Come get your relationship questions answered. Whatever your status is, married, single, dating, engaged, whatever. Hell, it could be as complicated. You got a question? Come listen to His and Hers. Listen to our experts break it down for you. Give you their insight to your question. That show was hosted by Poetry Dulce Diva, Free, and the Bishop Eddie Kane, I should say. That show was at 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone, 8 p.m. Central Time. Monday, we have The Hangout, hosted by Poetry and the Bishop again. For those who are into anime, who are into video games, technology, devices, movies, etc., and comics. The Hangout is the show for you. Listen to our experts debate and talk about the best of the anime world, the best video games coming out, the best devices coming out. Come get your fix every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Tuesday, next Tuesday, Two Sides of the Story interviews returns, and we have a special guest. For those who watch the hit show Power, we have a surprise for you. I've been promoting it all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yo, Chan, do you know who our guest is?
Yes, I do know who our guest is, because I actually promoted it on my fan page earlier today as well. He is Vinicius Machado. Will be the guest on the return of TSLTS interviews.
That's right. That's right. 9 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Central time. Wednesday, and every single Wednesday. Time to get your sports from the illest sports show on Blog Talk Radio today. Come chill with me, your boy Chills, DC's People's Champ, Almond Joy, as we give you the highlights, as we give you score updates, as we give you some of the best sports news around. The Skybox catches every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time. This has been another great episode with your boy Chills.
Yep, and don't forget, we are all over social media. You can join our official Facebook group on Facebook. Just search TSOTS Presents the Skybox and be added to the group. You can follow us on Twitter at TSOTS Production. Follow us on Instagram at Two Sides of the Story. And you can also follow me on Twitter at DC People Champ. You can follow Chills at Cool G Chills with a K, not a C, and with a Z at the end, not an S. So we're all over the interwebs. And
Taking over.
Yeah, and of course on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Two Sides Production. You can check out some of the archives of our shows, and also make sure you download the TSOTS app. iPhone, BlackBerry, and Google, and Android, so you can listen to some of your favorite shows on the go.
Exactly. You don't even got to download them. They already on the app.
Exactly. Well, we're all done here, you guys.
Yes, we are. This has been another great episode. Champ, I'll see you next week.
Same Skybox time, same Skybox channel.
Yep. Peace.
Later, y'all.